Now, first of all, we have a definition of faith, and it's a scriptural definition. So let's stay with that for just a moment here today. He says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, that is a scriptural definition of faith. And the reason now that he's turning to this very important word is because God today has just two ways, and you can come to him by works. And somebody says, I didn't know you believed that. Yes, if you can present perfection, God will accept you. But so far, nobody's been able to make it. Adam didn't. And no one else has ever made it. Abraham didn't, and David didn't, and Daniel didn't. None of them made it by being perfect. And therefore, that way is not a very satisfactory way. Yet there are a great many people that are coming along, hobbling along that route, and they're not getting very anywhere. Now, the only other alternative that is open to us today here is faith. We come to God by faith. Now, somebody says, well, that's not a very satisfactory way at all. Well, let me say this before we get to this definition. You remember the little girl was asked, what is faith? And she came up with a good answer. She says, well, faith is believing what you know ain't so. And a great many people think that it's that. There are those that think it's a leap in the dark, therefore. It's a sort of a gamble. It's an uncertainty. Well, if it's that to you, then, friends, you do not have faith. Faith here, it's a substance of things hoped for. It's an evidence of things not seen. And therefore, faith rests on a foundation. And then there are others that think faith is a great mystery. It's a sort of a sixth sense that if you have some intuition into the spiritual realm. It's a sort of an open sesame to a new world. It's like belonging to a secret order. You must get initiated. And there's some mystical works that God will accept in lieu of good works, just so you believe hard enough. Well, friends, the demons do a pretty good job of believing. They're not saved. And by the way, this type of faith ministers today to that area. We have a lot of cults and isms today that are demonic and are run by demons. Faith for these people becomes sort of a fetish. It's sort of a good luck charm that you hang around your neck and carry along with you. But faith is not that. Spurgeon put it like this, it's not thy hold on Christ that saves thee. It's Christ. It's not thy joy in Christ that saves thee. It's Christ. It's not even thy faith in Christ that saves thee, though that be the instrument. It is Christ's blood and merit. That's what saves you, friend. And faith just lays hold of it. That's all. Faith is not something, therefore, that is mysterious at all. It is that which looks to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, faith is not something that's added to good works, like character. Some folk in our churches today treat it like a salad with a dressing on it. Faith is the salad dressing. You have a salad and you put French dressing on it. You put blue cheese on it. You put an Italian dressing on it, and a great many people today, they just add good works. Well, my friend, that's not faith at all. Now he says here two things. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I like very much what Dr. J. Oswald Sanders of the old China Inland Mission has written. He says, faith enables the believing soul to treat the future as present and the invisible as seen. Well, that's good. But now let's look here at the scriptural definition. Faith is the substance It's the substance. Now, what are we talking about here when we say substance? Well, the word in the Greek is hypostasis. It actually is a scientific term, and it's the opposite from hypothesis, that is, an hypothesis, a theory. It is that which rests upon facts, by the way. What is a hypostasis? Well, it's a substance. In chemistry, it would be the chemical that settles at the bottom of the test tube after you've made an experiment. They would give me in chemistry when I was in college a test tube, and then they'd ask me to find out what was in it. They gave every student in class a test tube like that, you know. I always felt that if they didn't know, why give it to me? But I took that, and I would take some of it, and I'd put a chemical with it, another chemical, and I'd put it on the Bunsen burner, and I nearly blew up the laboratory one day experimenting because it had something in it. He shouldn't have given it to me, by the way. And the janitor that swept out that laboratory, I was back at the college about 5 years after that. He says, you know, Dr. McGee, I still sweep up little pieces of that big glass Laurentine bottle that you were experimenting with. Well, I was trying to collect gas. I thought it was some kind of a gas. And it was. Blew up the laboratory, by the way. Fortunately, why, just put glass in my vest. I didn't bend down. If it had, it would have got my eyes, I'm sure. Well, that's in the bottom of that test tube, that's the substance. That's what you were looking for. That is the reality. Now, that is what faith is. Faith is a substance. Dr. A.T. Robertson translated it like this. It's the title deed. Now, what is the title deed? What is the substance? It's the Word of God, my friend. Now, if your faith does not rest upon the Word of God, it's not Bible faith at all. It has to rest upon what God says. And actually, it means to believe God. Now, let me come back to that test tube that I talked about. I never did too well with it. But finally, after I worked at that thing for over 2 weeks, I went to the professor and I said, I think this is what it is. You see this in the bottom? I've tested it. And I said, I think it's this kind of a powder. And he said, you're right. That's what it is. Well, I had a substance. I had something there. You see, now, I wasn't sure, I'll be honest with you, but he was, because he knew more chemistry than I did, and he had been through that experiment before. Now, my friend, the question is, whether you believe God or not, don't come up with this idea that you've got intellectual problems, because that won't work. The thing that keeps men from the Word of God is sin. It's sin in your life that's keeping you from coming to God, you see. It's the heart that needs to believe. It's the heart that believeth unto righteousness. You see, when you're ready to give up your sin, the Holy Spirit will make real to you the Word of God. And that's one reason a very fine man who heads up a very wonderful organization in this country sent me a book, and I'm sure he sent it out to a group of ministers, that he wanted their evaluation of the book. Now, it's a very fine book, by the way, but it's in the realm of apologetics, proving that the Bible is the Word of God. Now, it's one of the best I've seen, and I wrote him and told him that I found that it was that. But I said very candidly, I've come to the place in my ministry where a book like that is of no value to me. And you know why? Because I already believe it's the Word of God. I've already been through all those little experiments, you see. I've taken the test tube, and I have put some on the Bunsen burner, and I have poured a chemical, hydrochloric acid, on some more of it. And I found out what it was. I have found out, and there is a man that has written me quite a letter, and he says I'm dogmatic, and I ought not to be dogmatic. My friend, you listen to me now. I'm dogmatic. I know the Bible is the Word of God. You know how I know it? Because I've put it in a test tube. I've made the experiment. And now faith is the substance of things hoped for. I know it's the Word of God. The Spirit of God has made it real to me. That's what Paul prayed for the Colossians. He says that you might come to the place, that you might know the will of God. Well, to know the will of God is to know the Word of God, that you might know the Word of God. And then he called it epignosis. There were Gnostics in that day that professed to have superknowledge. Paul says, I want you to have real superknowledge. I want you to know that the Bible is the Word of God. Now, I believe the Holy Spirit will make that real to you. Now, don't misunderstand. I went through a period as a college student where I almost gave up the ministry. In fact, I went to God in prayer because there was an unbelieving professor, and he was an ordained Presbyterian preacher. He was taking the rug out from under me and taking it out fast because I've always admired a man who's an intellectual, whoever he is. And I admired that man. And I want to tell you, he was about to rob me of my faith. And then I met a man that had 2 degrees for every degree this professor had. And he put me back on the track. He showed me there's an answer to those questions. And so I've got the answer for myself. May not convince you, but it certainly convinces me. And I've got a substance in the bottom of the test tube today. And don't tell me to make the experiment today. I don't need to make the experiment today. I know it's the Word of God. Therefore, it rests upon the Word of God. And my friend, the dogmatism is in this book here. And that's the reason he said that last verse, 39, but we are not of them who draw back under perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. There's not but 2 ways to go. Either you're going to go backwards or you're going to go forward. Because anything that is alive today can't stand still. You've either got to go one way or the other. And out yonder in the forest, there is deterioration taking place and there is regression. But there's also growth and development taking place. And there's nothing out there that's alive that's standing still. It just can't do that. It won't do that. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for. And that's scientific, by the way. Now, the second thing, it's the evidence of things not seen. Now, we have another word here. And the word for evidence is elenchos. It means to convict. When I was studying classical Greek in college, I looked this word up in the trial of Socrates. And it was used, I think, 23 times in Plato's account of it. Elenchos, a legal term, by the way. And this is something you can take into court and prove it. And this is something today that the entire business world rests upon. Business today is transacted by faith. I have a credit card. In fact, I have a stack of them. And I drive into a filling station. I hand the man the card. And you know he's got to have a lot of faith to take my card. He takes it. He believes that the oil company will pay him. And he believes that I'm the owner of the car. I say he has a lot of faith. And he believes that I'm going to pay it in the long run. And the interesting thing, the oil company thinks I'm going to pay it. In fact, they know I'm going to pay it because they'll take the card away from me. But the thing is, it's faith all the way through. A man that writes out a check and will accept a check, that man is moving by faith, my friend. All right? This is elenchos. It's evidence. Evidence that is accepted in a court of law. You see, faith is not a leap in the dark. Faith is not a hope-so. Faith is substance and evidence. Substance for a scientific mind. Evidence for the legal mind. If you really want to believe, you can believe. And you can believe a lot of foolish things also. But God doesn't want you to do that. God wants it to rest upon the Word of God.